Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ari Bergman. It's a pleasure to be speaking. And we're going to talk today about something, some ideas about relationships. Most important, shidduchim. I have my children, Baruch Hashem, all got married. And it's something, is a message that I think it's important to share and to think about. The relationship between us and God, us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mishnah relates that as a relationship between husband and wife. It says in the Gemara in Tainis, in the Chovov Amud Beis, the Gemara says like this, we know that the Shiduchim dates in the time of the Beis HaMikdash was Tu Be'av, the 15th of Av, and Yom HaKippurim. And there's something very logical, right? Yom HaKippurim, you're going to have Shiduchim. But the Gemara learns our passage. It says, V'chen hu oimer, Tzeina ureina b'noiz tzion, b'melech shlomo, b'atara sheitra loimo, b'um chutanato, b'um simchas liboy. Look at the crown that Amelech Shlomo, the God, got in the day of his marriage and the day of his happiness. B'yom chasunoso, the day of his marriage, ze matan Torah. That's the day of giving the Torah. U'b'yom simchas liboy, the day of his happiness, ze binyan b'es HaMikdash, is the day that b'es HaMikdash was built. And the simple idea is the following, that the reason why those two dates were related to Shiduchim is because our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship with the Jewish people to Hashem, it's a resemble, it's a match between the relationship between the husband and wife. It's the ultimate Shiduch. God is the male, the giver, and we are the female. We're the receivers. And therefore, the Shiduch in our relationship with Hashem is a dual relationship. You realize that. We have Beyom Chatunato, the day of the marriage, Ubeyom Simchat Libo, and the day of the happiness. And one is the giving of the Torah, and the other one is the Bein Beis HaMikdash. Interestingly enough, our own relationships, how we get married, the Jewish wedding and the Jewish marriage is very different, right? We have a two-step process called the Nisuin and the Erusin. First, we have the Erusin, which is the technical obligations of the marriage, that's called Erusin. And then we have the Nisuin, when we go to the chuppah and we, the husband and wife, live together. Today, right? Even though we don't have the Erusin, the Nisuin separated, we still separate by reading the ketubah. The reason I read the ketubah under the chuppah is for one simple reason, to split between the Erusin and the Nisuin. And the Erusin is where the obligations come by, right? You are tied, the wife and the husband create a relationship, but they don't materialize the relationship. It doesn't become real until the Nisuin, until he actually, the wife moves to his house. In the base, in our relationship with Hashem, says the Mishnah, was also the same. In Matan Torah, we got the relationship. God said, you are my people, and I give you the mitzvahs. But for us to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to build a house with him, was the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. Tu Be'av is that holiday of the Binyan Beit HaMikdash. That's the day that the Mishnah describes, and the Gemara describes so many things that relate. Rav Tzadok always says that's the holiday of the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore the Shiduchim are those 2 days. The Erusin is the Matan Torah, the Nisuin is the Binyan HaMikdash. Interestingly enough, right? Why is it necessary to have that dual relationship with Hashem? It's very interesting because for us, after the Galut, after we sent out, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So even though we are not Nesua to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we still have the Erusin. The Erusin is still there. And that's what the Pasuk says in Yeshaya. Komar Hashem, eize sefer kritud imchem asher shlachti. I never wrote you a get. I never gave you a divorce. I never divorced you. We're just not living together. You were sold because we can't live together. But doesn't mean that we're not married. So we might not have the Nisuin, but the Erusin is still there. By the way, the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu again, in Samech Beit, Lo yamer lach azuva olarzech, lo yamer ot shmama. When Mashiach will come, we are not going to be left out. You're going to be living together. You're going to have a marital relationship. It's so much so that the relationship between us and Hashem resembles the marital relationship. That in my view, I'll tell you something that I think. Rabbeinu Gershom Meor HaGolah did two takonas. Many takonas he did, but two takonas are ascribed to him. One takona is that you cannot divorce your wife against her will. Technically, you could divorce your wife against your will, against her will. You could enforce and give a divorce to a wife. Rabbeinu Gershom Meor HaGolah said no. If you want to divorce your wife against your will, you need the permission of 100 rabbonim throughout the world in different continents or in different countries. And the second takona is that you cannot marry two wives. Till then, the halacha permits a husband to marry many wives. He prohibited. And the question is, why specifically in that point in time? I'll tell you something that at least my feeling, it's not a hargosh, it's a feeling. If you know Rabbeinu Gershom Meor HaGolah, right, he lived in the beginning of the 11th century, right? He passed away in 1062. But what was notable, Dor Zeharua writes about him, that his own son was forcibly converted to Christianity. That was the beginning that Christianity actually took over, that led to the first crusades, right? The first crusades were the end of the 11th century, right? 1092, that's the beginning of the first crusades. But his son was forcibly converted. Dor Zeharua writes even that he set Shiva on his son, even though his son technically became Christian. So I think that the Christians always say, the Christians always believed in replacement theologies. That God had us, we basically destroyed the relationship, and God decided to replace us with somebody else. Rabbeinu Gershom Meor HaGolah said, that's not possible anymore. He said, from now on, you can't divorce the wife against her will. So God, even if he wants, he can't divorce us. The best in here, Paskin, that you can't do that. And don't ever expect the Christians to be a second wife, because now we are prohibiting a second wife. Once the struggle with the Christians becomes real by the time Rabbeinu Gershom Meor HaGolah, his attitude is, if you change the marital relationship, you are changing the relationship with God. Because those two relationships are reflections of each other. So I always say the fact that you can't marry a second wife and you can't divorce your wife Bal Korcha is a direct response to Christianity, to the challenge of Christianity. Don't ever say that God divorced us. He can't divorce us anymore against our will. The same way you don't divorce our wives. You can't expect you to be a second wife to Judaism. You know why? Because now, in the marital relationships, we don't accept a second wife. This becomes real. The relationship that we have with our wives, the kiddushin and nisuin. That's why the Gemara in Brochus, in the Vov Amud Bey, says that everybody who's mesameach hachosen v'chala, if you actually make the chosen v'chala appreciate each other and the chasne, you know what you get as a reward. Says the Gemara, Mas Choroi, Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Zoicha l'Torah. You're Zoicha to Torah, Shenitna b'chamisha kolot, because also has chamisha kolot. Has also five voices, the same five voices, Kol Chatan, Kol Kala, etc., that you have by a wedding, was the Matan Torah. Because if you give value to a marital relationship, you're giving value to the relationship between God and us. With those two relationships are the same. I always say to Hasid, you know that there are two mesechtas which have 49 blot, 49 pages, which is very coincidental, right, for the time between Pesach and Shavuot. One of them is Masechet Shavuot, talks about swearing, and the other Masechet Sotah, which is the faithfulness about husband and wives. The wife has to be, hey, faithful, Sotah. The Ashkenazim, the Litvish, learn Masechet Shavuos, and the Hasidim learn Masechet Sotah. And I always say, you know why? Because for the Litvish, they want the letter of the law. So they know that by Shavuos is Nishba Ve'oimet. They're going to get sworn in into the Jewish people. So they have to learn the halachas of Shavuos. So that's why they learn Masechet Shavuot. But for the Hasidim, and I think for all of us, Matan Torah is the building of a relationship with God. It's a marital relationship. We have to know how to be faithful. The real preparation is not Masechet Shavuot, it's Masechet Sotah. Masechet Sotah tells you, Sotah. Masechet Sotah is the one that talks about the relationships. What's important with Hashem is nothing but the relationships. That's what makes something real. And once we envision that kind of a relationship that we have between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you realize that now we can understand how to relate to our own wives. We ask ourselves, what is the most important thing to have between a husband and wife? Is it love? Is it friendship? The Gemara says the Gemara, and again, you have to look at it, says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, na oihev ishishtoi kigufoi. You should love your wife like yourself. But mechabda yoiser megufoi. But you respect her more than you respect yourself. The ultimate relationship is kovod, is respect. And the respect is greater than love. The question is why? Why you love a wife like yourself? It looks like great advice. But how did Chazal come up with that? But if you look at the relationship between Jews and God, this is the relationship. God loved us like he loved himself because we are part of him. But you know what God made that love translated into? Into kovod. Tov yatzar kavod lishmo. God, because he's good, because he loves us, you know what he gave us is respect. And he actually gave us respect greater than himself. Because today, he's bound by us. Look at the respect. B'mokum shata motze gdulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sham ata motze amtanuto. The greatness of Hashem you see, by where? By his humbleness. Says the Bina Leitim, you know what it means? Because God showed us respect. He cares of what we say. A brocha, a tefillah. God could say, who cares what people say? But God cares of what we say because he's giving us respect. Today we have something called bechira. We have choice. Means God said, you know something? I'm taking away your control. I'm giving you the car keys. That is respect. In the end, God respects us more than he respects himself. Because technically, we could be mechalel shem shomayim. And the Nefesh HaChaim says, not chilul shem shomayim means we could create a vacuum, we could create a hole, a hollow. God's presence can be kicked out by us. That's called respect. But the respect is also, how do we respect a spouse? It's because the Torah says a spouse is ezer kenegdo. It's your help by being your balance. It's helping you by being against you, creating a balance. God kibeyochol has the connecting of people. We know that when Rabbi Yeshua argued with God, do you know who the halacha follows? Can you imagine? We have an argument between Rabbi Yeshua and the Bat Kol. And according to most Rishonim, including the Rach, that Bat Kol was not a fake, was a real Bat Kol. And who wins in the argument? Rabbi Yeshua, because lo b'shamayim hi. That's respect, that's ezer kenegdoi. We are helping God. And when the Gemara says, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at that time? He said to himself, nitzchu nibonai, my children won over me. That's a relationship. That's Ezer Kenegdoi. The Netziv explains. Do you know what Ezer Kenegdoi means? The ultimate Ezer is not to have somebody who's a Tane the Messiah. Tane Messiah in Aramaic means somebody who says a yes man or a yes woman. That everything you do is great, everything you do is perfect. Just the opposite. The real Ezer Kenegdoi, the real help, has been Kenegdoi. Nitzchuni Bonai is the ultimate respect. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that, that's how relationships have to be built. So Chazal say, you love a spouse like yourself, but you respect her more than herself. And I tell you that for me is a very practical thing. Every Rebbe that I had, some people look at the Rebbe how he davens, some people look at the Rebbe how he dresses, right? We live in a world that people care about how people dress. For me, it was important of how they treated their wives, their relationship. I'll tell you a story of mine, right? And I'll start backwards. I went to Columbia University to study under Professor Livni. And if you look at the Professor Livni, and you did a Google search. There was a famous article by the Jewish Observer that was not, I would say, the most complimentary. Because he was a little, I would say, a little out there. And I remember I was so doubtful if to go to his class or not to go to his class. And I said, should I go? Shouldn't I go? I learned about Moshe Shapira, but I said, I'm going to ask Moshe Shapira if Shapira will shoot me in the eyes. And I will not be able to do that. So I said, you know something? I'll get a friend of mine, a son of a Rosh Shiva here in this neighborhood, who was at Columbia Law School. So we're going together. We'll protect each other. And I went there. But you know what won me over? I saw how he treated his wife. His wife had Alzheimer's. And she wasn't functioning anymore. How he respected his wife. I was in awe. I remember that he stayed in America all the time because he had to care for his wife. His wife first was at home and he is an old man to take care of her. Then she was in an institution and he would go and visit her every single day and talk to her. And I would walk with him to see him going and walking on Shabbos. He had to really walk far. And finally he got to Eretz Yisrael. Telling you, he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, but he would not move unless they moved his wife along. And to take somebody who was out of it, it's a very difficult thing. So finally he got, and it was so expensive to move her, he couldn't do it. And there was a group of people from Hatzolah, and they decided to do it for free. Lamish Tzadikim. And you know why? I spoke to the people of Hatzolah. Why did they do that? Because they saw how Professor Livni treated and respected his wife. And they were in awe of it. Said, you know, somebody who cares so much for his wife deserves to be transported for free. So they went, they got the ticket, and they did it. And people, you know, I mean, these people stopped working, and they took, and in Yerushalayim, every day he would visit her, meaning every Shabbos he would walk. I remember how many hours there and hours back. It didn't matter if it was hot, if it was cold. That won me over. Because if you know how to respect your spouse, you know what relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it means. This is a relationship that you can learn from. I remember vividly how he treated his wife, how he respected her, how there was a mutual relationship of Ezer Kenegdoi. And that was something that really also made me impressed. And that started by Rav Rudem Zecher Tzadik Livrocha in the yeshiva. People remember how we were in the yeshiva, and I was used to go every Friday night to his house. And Friday night, we organized a group to go to his house to sing Zmiros, and I'm a terrible singer. But I said, why did I this yeshiva, why do you need people to sing Zmiros? And it's crazy. And he used to say that Hashir Shalivim Hayu Oimrim. The Shir, the Levim would say, they would not sing. He was there because you're super Litvish. So he said, the Levim, who said the Levim sang anything? It says they said the Shir, okay? Well, people say the Shir. So why do you want us to sing? And I was a terrible singer, so I had to always, every little Shabbos, worry about who can I get who has a good voice. And he said, you know why? Because his wife was sick, and he wanted his wife to listen to Mir Shabbos because she appreciated Mir Shabbos. So that's why he wanted it. For Friday night, even though she couldn't participate, we went every Friday night. And that was the experience that I had when I was 13 years old. And the reality of it is, we have to understand that if the way how you treat your spouse, that's the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship is a marital relationship. And that's how we have to show. When we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us is a husband and wife. Even though we don't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we never call HaKadosh Baruch Hu my husband. But he is our husband. The Pasuk says, Bo'alaychem Hashem Tzvokis, Eze get katavti limchem, Biyom chatunato, Biyom simchas liboy.
You should translate when you're talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. On the day of his marriage and the day of his rejoicing. God says, what's the day of my marriage? The day I gave the Torah to the Jews. That's what the Mishnah says. What's the day of the rejoicing of my heart? The day that I built the Beit HaMikdash. Which our sages say, you know how you celebrate that? You don't celebrate that going to Shul. You don't celebrate that going to a Beis Medrash. You celebrate that by finding Shiduchim. And I think it translates in the relationship that, you know something, on the bracha we wish the chosen and kala, ahava ve'achva ve'shalom ve'riut. Love, brotherhood, peace, and friendship. Those are the four ingredients of a relationship. Ahava, love, achva, which is a brotherhood relationship, of like brother and sister, shalom, peace, and riut, friendship. Where did Chazal make up that what the chasana is all about, that the relationship is all about? You know where they made it up? Because if you pay attention on the God's letters, the name of God, how he related himself to us, is the Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He. And the Kabbalists always explain that this is the name of the relationship. That's how God presents us himself to us, to say, okay, this is how we're going to relate to each other. The Yud, okay, is the point. Is that point, with the point of the relationship, is only one thing called love. And you know why it's called love? Because in Hebrew, you know what love is all about? It's about giving. The word ahava comes from hav, to give. The Yud is the first point of creation that God gave himself over to us. That's the Yud. In Chazal, in our sages, this is called the Partzufa Chochma. That's called Chochma. And that's called the husband. That's called Partzuf Abba. That's how God says, I'm here for you. Then there is a second level, which is the Hay, which is a relationship of equals. Do you know the name of the Hay? In Chazal, it's called that when you spell God's name, Yud, Hay, Vav, Hay, and you spell every letter, the Yud is spelled Yud, Vav, Dalet, the Hay is the Hay and the Hay, Vav, Vav, Hay, Hay. If you spell that way, the Yud as Yud, Vav, Dalet, the Hay as Hay and Hay, Vav as Vav and Vav, the word Vav is repeated, Hay, Hay and Hay, is called the Shem Ben, which is the 52. The numerical value is 52, which is the Hay, the first Hay, which means you have two Yud Kevavkes. You have this duality that they relate to each other. That's brotherhood. That's called Bina. That's why the Hay is a composite letter. It's a Dalet and a Yud. The Dalet is us, the Dalet, the receivers, and the giver, and we are equals. We affect each other. That's brotherhood. Brotherhood is that you feel with your wife, not only that you have love, that you give to each other, but that you have a relationship. Brotherhood, it's something that besides love, she's part of you. You are the same. You're connected. We are Siamese twins. That twinship is the Hay. That's why Chazal understood that the second level is called Achva. But you know, Dennis, there is such a thing after it's called peace. Peace is that people have to be able to work together, because you could love somebody, you could feel for somebody, but you can't get along. If you can't get along, you don't go anywhere. That is the Vav. The Vav is God extends himself and connects to us. What does the Vav do? The Vav connects, it's a conjunction between two words. The Vav in Hebrew means a hook, because it connects together. Right? The first Vav in the beginning of a word in the Torah is the word Vavim Lamudim, the hooks. The hooks of the Mishkan are called Vavim. They are the hooks that connect things together. That's the idea of Shalom. Shalom is Shlimut, that husband and wife, they connect to each other. They can work together. There is a meeting of the minds. That's why Shalom is the third aspect. And then Riut is a friendship. It's a connection of distance. Riut is that your friendship. You count on each other. You depend on each other. And that's because the last Hay is called Malchut. God depends on us and we depend on God. Ein melech beloam. God says, I can't exist without you. And we tell God, we can't for sure survive without you. It's a mutual dependent relationship. That's called Riut. That's called friendship. It's the last Hay. Chazal understood that the marital relationship is a four-step relationship, which is love, the feeling of a family, the feeling of connectedness, peace, the ability to compromise and to work together, and to have a concept of relationship which is mutual dependency, because that is what God gave us in the relationship. And the relationship of God in humans is the Yud, the Hay, Vav, and the Hay. So we have to understand that this is all a reflection of that relationship. That's why, throughout history, people always thought, what do you need to get married for? So the people say you get to get married for, to have children. That's not the Jewish aspect. The Christians, one of the great polemics with the Christians, with Paul, was on the necessity of getting married. He always thought the reason why you get married is to have children, or you get married because the Yetzer Hara, right? Because if you don't get married, you end up doing terrible things. So a wife is a way to avoid the Yetzer Hara. So he says, therefore, if you could have an ascetic life, celibate is the ultimate. If you could control your Yetzer Hara without your wife, and you could build students or anything else without marriage, the better. He celebrates celibacy. Paul himself was celibate. Debatable if Jesus was celibate. Chazal understood the opposite. You cannot have a relationship with Hashem if you don't have a relationship with a wife. Because this is the relationship. Don't ever kid yourself that a celibate person can relate to God. That is a fake relationship. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the relationship of marriage. And the relationship of marriage is a love, but love leads to respect, to hear somebody else. And I think that that's so important, that when we go ahead and we give respect to Rosh Hashiva, we should look at how they treat their wives. You cannot have somebody teaching our children who do not have a model relationship. Because the person will never know how to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which leads me to another step. When we go out for shidduchim, to look for shidduchim, what should we look for? We look for our children. And we are very involved with shidduchim because Baruch Hashem, my children married, and that's how I want to speak to you, and you get involved with shidduchim. And there is a pattern that a lot of people don't give the chance. Because they hear this, they hear that, and they just don't give a chance to find a mate. Imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his marriage to us would not give us a chance. You realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim because there was something there. But it was that he gave us a chance. If we don't give a chance and we pass a Lashidach before it goes for some crazy cheshbon because a friend says it's not for you, you might be missing the opportunity of a lifetime. Just think if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would pass on us. Because, you know something? They're not frum enough. They might have a good ichus, but who knows? They are slaves. They have no money. These people are today worshipping Avodah Zarah. If you don't get a chance. And you know what the ultimate mistake is? We always think that our shidduchim search is what defines who we find. And always think, people, I think we all got affected by American movies. American movies, at least, when I was a little child, was that the thing was that the movie was leading to them getting married, and then there was, once they get married, there was they live happily ever after. The end of the movie. I think by now, we realize that the movie doesn't end when you get married, the movie starts. And there is no... The whole screenplay and the script is not made. We are making it. The Gemara says like this. Says the Gemara in Moed Kotten. The Gemara Kotten says like this. Omar Rav Yishum Rabbi Ruven Ben Strubili. Mina Torah, mina Nivim, mina Ksuvim. The Torah, the Nivim, and the Ksuvim. From the prophets, the Torah, and the Holy Scriptures. There is one message that is repeated constantly. Me Hashem Isha Leish. That God is the one who matches a wife or a husband. Mina Torah, we see that from the Torah. Why? Dichtiv. Vayan Lavan Btuel. Even Lavan Btuel, they said, Vayomru Mehashem Yatzah Davar. God is the one who's making the Shidduch. Lo Nuchal Adaber Elecha Rotov. We have nothing to say. God wants it. That's what has to happen. The prophets is also the same. Look at the prophets. Ve'ovi ve'imo lo yadu ki Mehashem hi. Shimshum loved Noshim Nochriyos. He wanted to, for some reason, he was attracted to the Plishtiot, to the people from the Philistines. And the parents got very upset. But they didn't know Shimei Hashem is a Shidduch. Hashem is making it. At that time, he can't understand. But even though the Shidduch didn't look good, Mei Hashem Yatzah Davar. And then, Minak Suvim, there is a pasuk in scriptures. It says like this, Bait Vehon, a house and fortune, nachlat avot, belongs to the family, it's your money. But me Hashem, from God only, is isha maskelet. To find the right woman is only me Hashem. And you just look at the response. What does that mean? Fortune and a home is the property of the owner? What? We know that there's no such a thing. Bitochin, we know that God has to give us a brocha, otherwise it doesn't work. So what does the pasuk say that fortune and a home belongs to the owner, but Hashem is the one that gives you the right wife? I think the message here is very clear. On everything else, there is a correlation between our ishtadlus and our bitochin. You work hard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you to succeed. There is a correlation between what you put in and you get out. You need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Without that, it won't work. But there is a correlation between investment and return. This is what the pasuk says. Bayit v'hon, a fortune, nachlat avot. It belongs to you. You did something for it. But the shidduch is not like this. The ishtadlus has very little, if any, correlation to the result. Ume Hashem.
Huh? What's
this? Ishtadluk means is trying, working for it. Our effort, our investment, very little to it. Because Hashem says, I am the one who gives it. The same thing repeats again. Always, Hashem is the one who makes it. That's why, look at the story of Shimshon. His parents were against the Shidduch. It made no sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's what I want. And if you look at Lavan the Besuel, right? The Lavan. Lavan is the father-in-law and the brother-in-law of Rivka. They weren't the frumest Jews possible. They weren't even Jewish. And what did they say? They said something very simple. We can't pass judgment. From the Lavan we told you, see one thing. Do you know what the Ishtadlut is? In good English, give a chance. Because what we could do is we can stop God from making the Shidduch. That's why they said, Hashem yatzah davar, God is the one making the Shidduch, therefore, lo nuchal el daber elecha ra'otov, we don't have the right to say yes or no. Sometimes a Shidduch needs to happen, give a chance. For sure we have to do, to search. If there is something wrong, let's not do it. Because then Hashem is indicated nothing, there's something wrong. But if there's nothing wrong, just give a chance. And let's look for what's right in a shidduch. If our shidduch is a relation between us and Hashem, let's make sure what's important in that relationship is ava ve'achva ve'sholom ve'reyus. Doesn't talk about money, but doesn't talk about ichus. All of this, it's nice, but it's not a relationship. A good marriage, it's a foundational need for the relationship with God. And let me just finalize the last 3 minutes of the Gemara. We know that when we say the bracha by the Chasana, we say one of the Sheva brachas is Sameach Tesamach Reim Ahuvim. My dear friends, you should be happy. Kesamecha Chayitzircha beGan Eden Mikedem. You should be as happy as Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden. And I say, what kind of a wish is that? How do you know that Adam and Chava were happy? Right, they had no choice. So the rabbi says a joke because they had no in-laws. So that's a happiness in itself. Some people say because they didn't have to wait for each other to get dressed. Because Adam and Chava didn't have to get dressed. So there is something special in their marriage. But the Ramban writes in Torah saw to be something else. You know what? The ultimate shidduch is marrying your other half. We know that Adam and Chava were created, they were androgynous. They were male and female together. God split them and got them married. Says the Ramban, every soul was male and female. And the souls were split. And our job is to find our other half. The only person who knew that he got his other half, you know who it was? Adam. Because he saw Chava attached to him right before. So we wish the Chosin and Kala, they should find in each other the other half, like Adam and Chava found their other half. That's the bracha. But I always say, what kind of a bracha is this? You give by the chuppah? Too late. It might be the wrong half. It's a bracha at best, levatola. This brocha is like a what? Now we say, what kind of a stupid brocha is this? You're giving the guy a brocha that you should find his other half when it's too late? What? It's like the Christians. They always ask, does anybody have anything to go against this marriage? Please speak up. Okay, this is a call to say, okay, they're not made for each other. Too late. What kind of a brocha is this? But the answer is very simple. Before we get married, we have to rely on Hashem. We just have to give the chance and it gets done. And we believe that Hashem is directly involved in every shidduch. And the best we can do is actually to disturb the process. There's nobody else.
There's nobody else by the time of the Mechavos. That's why I say you shouldn't think that it's somebody better.
It's somebody better. It's exactly right. But you know what happens afterwards? After you get married, we've got to make it work. We have to make each other half. Because if you don't make the relationship work, the relationship will never blossom. You'll never see the other half. I think this is the most important message. The Shidduch message is the relationship between us and God. God gave us a chance, but after He gives the chance, it's on us to make it work. If we don't make it work, that chance loses. Hashem, you could rely on Him to make it happen by the time of the chuppah. From the chuppah on, we have to make it happen. And that's why the brocha is chal right afterwards. And that's the life. I think if we understand the brocha, we realize that what we are marrying is not ourselves. We have ourselves. We are marrying what's missing from us. The respect is to listen to somebody, to give over, to give respect. And that's what makes the relationship work. But the relationship only works if we make it work. There is nothing natural in it. So I think the message that I would like to share is that marriage is the work of a lifetime. The same way the relationship between us and God is a relationship of a lifetime. It takes time to build and it takes a lot of effort. Bitochon, the relying on Hashem, is to the moment of the chuppah, and then we have to make it work. If we don't make it work, don't blame it anybody else but ourselves. To make it work is to say, how does the relationship with Hashem works? I want to emulate the same relationship to my wife. The relationship has to be built on love, but a love that leads to respect. The respect is ahava ve'achva ve'shalom v'reyus. If we work in ahava, love, achva, the feeling of family, of brotherhood, peace, and friendship, the relationship will work, and we'll see each other and people are going to see in the marriage the fulfillment of life. And this will lead to a healthy relationship with God. And to realize that the way how our homes look like, that's how Olam Haba looks like. How we treat our wives and our spouses and vice versa, that is our relationship with Hashem, Umirah. Nothing better and nothing worse. Let's build Olam Haba here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.